Welcome back to another season of Remotely Speaking Up. Join me, Dr. Rochelle Haynes, and my special guests every week as we discuss how the way we work continues to change and how companies and their people can continue to thrive no matter where and how they work. For more on our podcast, be sure to follow us on Instagram at Remotely Speaking Up. Stay tuned for more. Welcome back to Remotely Speaking Up. We are fresh off of our mid-season break. We are now at episode 7. So we've done 6 episodes and we have 6 more to go in our season 4. And as you know, for this season, we've been focusing on the future of work and how that has evolved since the pandemic and how that's evolved in terms of how companies are innovating because of the change in the workforce. So one of these very innovative companies started around the time of the pandemic as well, is The Real Ones, the Global Black Alliance. And we have today, this company is based in Toronto, and we have today its founder with us, Joe Harry. Now, Joe has been an IT expert for some while now. He's worked in the IT sector for more than 10 years, and he's created this app called GBA, The Real Ones. And what it really is a GPS for Black-owned businesses and allies. So Joe has used his IT skills to come up with this app that allows Black-owned businesses to find each other around the world. Now I'm going to turn over to Joe to tell us a little bit more about this. Joe, welcome so much to the podcast. And I'm very excited to hear about your company. I remember when we spoke, when you were first starting it. And I know it's grown since then. And it's gone through quite a bit of stages since. So tell us a bit more about, well, your background and your vision behind starting this company.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. Yeah, Real Ones. The journey behind the app was really something extraordinary. So I mean, during the pandemic, we're all seeing a lot of just dense and really dark themes around anti-Asian hate, around social justice for Black people, equity, you know, injustice towards the indigenous community, and so many different things. And you know, there's protests all over the world, and the protests didn't just look like one color of people or one group of people. It was everyone. So that's kind of where the idea of Global Black Alliance, GBA, came from, because I really wanted it to be a true alliance that's centered around the Black experience, which is what I know and how I identify. So we just wanted to make it easier to find ways to help and to engage the communities that needed help the most, because we found that there was just information fragmented all over the internet. There's, you know, a Facebook group here, a Google Doc here, a Twitter thread. Well, it's called X now. So yeah, the information was just fragmented all over the place, and we thought, wouldn't it be nice to just have one location to look for everything? Your starting point to find the communities that need help, that need support, the nonprofits, the grassroots organizations, you know, the people doing the work. How do you support? How do you engage? How do you bolster a local economy, even if you're not there? And that's really where Real Ones kind of came about. And so far, it's been really good. It's been really good.
Yeah, I think that's amazing, because earlier this season, for example, we looked at how innovation in the workforce, for example, shift stores, remote work, hybrid work, and hiring more freelancers. We looked at how that helped organizations to access more global talent. So, for example, how can companies now hire freelancers? I think with your app, what we're now looking at is how can companies connect on a B2B, how companies can find each other, companies connect with other companies within specific diverse networks. And I think you've really hit onto something here, because we know the research has shown as well that compared to other ethnicities, when it comes to Black-owned businesses, at least within the UK context, within certain African regions, we've seen research that's shown that more than 70% of them fail within the first 5 years. Most of the reason for that sometimes is, a lot of the reasons for that, sorry, is a lack of support. So what you've done is created an app which allows these businesses to support each other and allows people to better find them as well. Is that right?
Yeah, that's 100% the case. It's just the stats in Canada is not dissimilar either. And a lot of people tend to think that it's, a Black only app, but it's not. We really do believe in allyship because there are people, who stand alongside us and help, and not just that, but how we do allyship to others as well. So how me, for example, as a straight Black male, how do I do allyship to Black women? How do I do allyship to the Indigenous community, to the Pride community? I think those things are important, because if we only think internally, then I think we miss a bit of the bigger picture as being part of a collective. In Canada, there's about 66,000 Black-owned businesses, but if you ask anyone, they could probably list 5, 10. The largest database right now has about somewhere between 4 to 8,000, the top two. So, there's definitely opportunity to grow and to make it easier to find and engage with these businesses and communities.
Yeah, and I like that it's not only Toronto based as well. Am I right? Are you based in nine countries?
So as of today, there's a 272 businesses in 9 countries and growing. And it's only just by word of mouth. We haven't done any marketing campaigns yet, but if people hear about the app, they hear about the concept and they truly get it, then they become promoters. They start to encourage other people. Since I'm in Toronto, like, that's kind of where the denser population of businesses on the app would show up. But we are hoping to grow into like the G7 countries and expand further on.
Wow, I think that's amazing considering, remind, is it 2021 that you started the company or 2020?
2021, we officially kind of launched, and then the app was available September 11th, 2022. So just around there, on Android. We started with Android because I know some Apple fans are gonna get frustrated, but it was just a more affordable platform, and we're really thinking about equity, and some of those phones are just easier to have access to for businesses that are trying to, to do what they can. So we wanted to make it be available there first and grow from there.
Okay. So what have you found in this time of the company from I guess from the time you initiated it to it now growing? What have you found or what have you seen are some of the most significant challenges in trying to bring different business communities, different diverse business communities together?
Man, okay. Challenges. I think one of the harder ones in our community is trust. To getting over that trust factor, to earn your customers to give you the benefit of the doubt. Like, I have your best interests at heart. I'm not just here to exploit or to take your information or anything. We present real ones free. Like, we don't charge a premium for it. There's no sign-up fee. There's no hidden costs. It's just 100% free. And when we say that to people, you see, like, what's in it for you?
What's the
So
catch?
exactly. So I think that's one of the challenges when it comes to adopting, like, early adoption. It's almost like you have to become a success first, for other people to really kind of be on board. So I think that's one. The other is funding. That has been a bit of a challenge. Fortunately for me, I use the equity in my home to really get started, because I'm the type of person, nothing's gonna stop me. I believe in it that much, and I'm gonna put my money where my mouth is and get that started. I wanted that when I have a conversation with people, it's not just about an idea, it's not just about a concept, but they can pull it up on their phone and take a look at it and just go real ones in the iOS or Google Play and see for themselves. And the last thing I'll say to that is what I call kind of the UCM concept. So it's unhealthy, competitive mindset, where people feel like there's, that I'm coming to take, when really we're coming to contribute. There's multiple businesses can exist in the same industry and still thrive. You have Netflix, you have Amazon Prime, you have Hulu, YouTube. Like, there's so many other streaming services, and they all seem to exist. So I don't think it has to be an either-or situation. So we're not here to take anybody's job or replace anybody's model. So.
Yeah, it's really interesting because, like, on your second point, before I come to that third one, which is quite interesting, On that second point, it reminds me of that marketing mantra where people do business with who they know, like, and trust. And in a very young company, also a diverse company, you tend to meet a lot of challenges with people putting that initial faith in you. But then I guess your references grow and people get more comfortable with the idea. Yeah, they're more willing to accept. And I've seen that. Yeah, I've seen that third point you mentioned, because it's something that is experienced a lot in consulting as well. Like when I first started consulting, I was worried about that, what you call UCM. Luckily, wait, it materialized in some ways, and then, but mostly I've had a better experience, but I know that can definitely be a challenge as well.
For sure.
Well, but you've done really well. But I know your background as well is not just IT, but also in music. So you're like 100% entrepreneur, but also 100% musician. How do you keep the two?
That makes me 200% busy all the time. So the background here is not a fake background or anything. Like, this is actually my music room that I use as my office sometimes. So I'm a full-time musician, or a professional musician. I studied at Berkeley. I grew up in the Caribbean in Dominica, and music has always just been a big part of my family, a big part of my identity. And it's interesting, you coined the term gig HR. And as a musician, it's all about the gig, and this is how we live, this is how we breathe. And sometimes, as a professional bass player, to be specific, I'll jump in and cover a gig because the bass player is sick or away or traveling. So I'll step into that gig, or I'll go into a studio session to do a recording. And it's just for the time needed for the specific purpose, is to work on this song, is to work on this hook or this chorus. And I do what I need to do, and then I'm out, and the song breathes life, and I'm out of there. So I definitely understand, the concept of gigging. It's not always forming your own band and doing your own thing, but sometimes it's just jumping in where needed and executing well.
Yeah, you just described their open talent perfectly and how companies use open talent. Because very much from gig to from the term gig HR to open HR. And one of the things that we've seen exactly with how companies use open talent, how we emphasize they can use it, is by stressing that when you might have a specific problem with a specific need at the time that might not require a person full time, like you said, just someone to come in and, as you said, gig for the moment. Yeah. So how do you find, in terms of what you've been doing with the real ones, how does that mission help companies to engage talent across the globe, especially diverse talent?
I think for us, it's really about not trying to reinvent the wheel. I'm not trying to create another social media platform. I'm not trying to create another place for people to share their opinions. There's a plethora of those. What I found was, if we stick to simplifying the access to information, that would be the advantage. So we kind of market Real Ones as the GPS for Black-owned businesses and allies, meaning, people aren't just on their GPS for the sake of being on it. You need to find something, you need to get somewhere, you open it up, you get the information you need. Once you get there, you close it and you're done. You go about your day. I kind of like that idea. So for us, we think that this is where the value kind of comes in. And imagine, the app, there's what, 334 million businesses worldwide. So imagine an app that's curated with just those businesses. You can get the industries, you can get the culture information, if they're, Bayesian, if they're Trini, if they're, Congolese. And I feel like, for travelers, people who are working in different areas and different business hubs, when they land and they need to find premium talent, they need to find, from a procurement perspective, Real Ones, they open up the app, they filter on their location, what they're looking for, bam, they have options that they can choose from. And that is kind of where I think that we can bring value.
Yeah, you've mentioned quite an interesting point, which is one that has been raised a lot in terms of the use of freelancer talent. You have some companies that hire freelancers, or some small businesses that hire freelancers for interpretation purposes, for example. And That often requires a very specific individual with a very specific local context. Let's put it that way. So let's say you are hoping to transcribe some Arabic documents, but you might want to do that in a way that includes the local colloquialisms, and you want that understands the context behind the language. And I think for GBA, that allows you to do that perfectly if you go within, if you're traveling and you're in a specific locale and you need specific work done that's very niche to the local context, then GBA
Exactly.
is perfect for that.
I like that idea. And even just from our perspective of how we grow, because I'm not physically present in all these cities, let's say in London there's an uptick in businesses registering. We review every business that applies, right? So it's not just automatically approved. We want to make sure that it's a safe space for customers and for businesses. And to do that effectively, sometimes you will need people who represent those hubs to say, we know this business, we know this brand, this is what they're about. They align with our goals. So that works out really well. And when it comes to translation, you're 100% right. Like, we're from the Caribbean. If you say the word kenip, that could mean five different things depending on the island that you're on, right? So and I think that's it's important to get those nuances and to also make your customers feel, truly seen from a perspective of equity.
Yeah, you just reminded me of something really funny there because explaining to my English colleagues the name, how the name Johnny is used in Barbados is
Oh boy.
if you're familiar with how it's used in Barbados, sometimes it can be hard to explain that. Well, when I first came, it was hard to explain to my local friends here why I smiled every time I heard that name, and it was me. And it's because, of course, but for an audience that might not know, sometimes that is a name that's used in a very derogatory manner, if someone's being silly. So just those little nuances can make a difference when you're
Exactly.
doing business locally. So tell me a bit more about your allyship. You said your app is it also allows for people to connect with local businesses, but also for allies to connect and to support as well. Can you tell me a bit about what that looks like?
And I appreciate you asking because a lot of the times, people kind of glaze over the allyship part of it. It's almost like the end fries with that thing. And we want it to be really intentional. So for us, we say like Real Ones makes it easier than ever to buy black, to shop local, and to work with allies. So, seeing that in we don't exist in every industry. And sometimes based on the geographical location, we may not have representation there. But if you have companies that also align and that do the work of equity and inclusion, diversity, those would be the companies that I would feel much more comfortable spending my money on. So if I had to go to let's just say an Italian restaurant, and there's one that I know absolutely nothing about, and then there's another that is, volunteering at a soup kitchen and, donating like extra meals to the unhoused and all of that. I think like those would be the places that you'd want to celebrate and that you'd want to spend and that you'd want to patronize. So I think that that's kind of where it comes along, because we do need allies, and allyship has also helped me to grow my business acumen, my IT skills, my musicianship. So, I kind of see that being consistent through life because we live in a diverse world and we want to be able to, address the needs that are immediate, but also leave the door open for collaboration and allyship and working together and growing together.
That's a really interesting example that you used, and it really reminds me of the changing value mindset across generations in our workforce. Because one of the things that we're seeing with Gen Z and millennials is that they're no longer just willing to work with companies because for money. They want to align themselves with companies that promote their values, with companies that promote good social values, have good corporate social responsibility, and They're very much purpose-driven in the way that they seek work. Several research shows that millennials and Gen Zers tend to look more for careers or, let's say, jobs or companies that align with their own personal moral compass. So I think that's really interesting that you highlight the fact that through allyship, your companies have the opportunity to do that, especially if you're small business companies. You have a lot of small business companies on the apps or micro firms or individuals. They can look for customers and they can look for other companies that align with their own personal values and decide whether or not they want to work with them.
Yeah, no, that's 100% right. And I think, like, when I was coming up with the app and how we're gonna build it, what it's gonna look like, I didn't want DEI to be something that was just an afterthought. I wanted it so interwoven into like the overall structure. And people always kind of talk about the evolution of the workforce, but the evolution of the customer is something else. Like before we would just wanted to buy a product. Now it has to be ethically sourced. It has to be environmentally friendly. And all of those values and metrics, like you can't deny that they're important to your customer. So, and I think as we move forward, like you said, that's going to be another thing that is really important. If you want to attract, good talent, if you want to be able to reach and connect to your customers where they feel like they're not just buying a product, but that they're investing in, a business that cares about its community, that cares about, its overall impact on the world, et cetera.
Yeah, excellent. What have you found then, in terms of curating this platform in a way that people can connect so locally and connect so personally, let's even put it that personally and professionally? How does running a business like this, a platform business, differ from your traditional work experience?
Well, yeah, there's lots of change. There's lots of changes and lots of differences. To me, I find that there's no such thing as the 9 to 5 anymore. In this space, you work when you can, when you're needed, as necessary. Trying to avoid burnout all the while. And you're ultimately accountable. So there's no other, well, this team, this, or you should go to this department. It all kind of rolls up to you. And that's something that you have to be comfortable with. There's what I like to refer to as definite uncertainty, because there's just things that you're not able to predict. Things won't go well. You can craft like the what you think is the best social media post, and then crickets. So,
Yes.
so
I've had that experience before.
exactly being like, oh, this was such a fire post and nothing, and then something else you just slap together. Now all of a sudden it's trending and is like outperforming everything else. So that's that. But to me, I think one of the pros is that in this model, it's fast and agile. In a larger company, when you have to get, 12 different signatures before you can do the request for information to decide whether or not to start the project, to do the thing, it can take a lot of steps. But in this format, I find that I'm a little bit faster, a little bit more agile, and I can pivot a lot more quickly. So that to me is an advantage.
Yeah, we've seen that. That's definitely true. We've seen that a lot with in our own consulting work, as you know, with my work in open HR, as you like we said before, formerly gig HR, one of the things that we often observe is that larger companies, although you think that they're the ones with the resources, they're the ones that make it happen, they actually struggle a lot more than smaller organizations because they have more reporting lines, they have more structures that are not necessarily, as you mentioned, as agile and allow them to move as quickly. So that's definitely a really relevant benefit that you've mentioned there. So what do you find are your biggest lessons that from this experience, from creating this platform, from running your own platform business, just from the entire experience of the real ones, GBA, what have you found is your or are your key lessons?
So I think one thing, this might be an unpopular opinion, and you may have to cut this out, I don't know.
He tells me
But
now while we're recording. Go for
it's
it.
like, here we go.
Disclaimer, audience, to our audience, disclaimer.
Right. In my opinion, I don't believe that your friends are your customers. A lot of people go into an idea, a new concept, a new project, an event, or a creative process, thinking that the people closest to them are going to be their biggest supporters, that they're going to be the early adopters. And it doesn't always work out that way. When it does, that's great. When it does, that's wonderful. But in my experience, like, talking to over 200 businesses that have been onboarded onto the platform, the similar struggles that they're having is that one thing. And controlling your expectation is key. It will be great to have that support from your closest network, but really think about who your target audience is and cater to them, because you'll find sometimes a stranger can find out about the work that you're doing and be so passionate and fired up about it, they could be your biggest promoter, so that's one. Two, I think, was that comment okay? Is that gonna stay in?
No, that's staying in. This is your
Okay.
personal experience. It's
Okay,
relevant.
cool. The other would be, I think comparing yourself to others is an almost guaranteed way to stunt your growth. It'll stunt your growth, your creativity, your optimism. It can just crush your spirits. If you're looking at someone else who's doing something similar, someone else who's doing something that you might think is better because they have more followers, more engagements, more likes, more follows, whatever the medium or the litmus test that you're using to compare yourself to them, just don't. Just don't. Learn the lessons that you can, see what's for you and not. But comparing, I just feel that that doesn't really help. So that's two. I'll give two more. One, research is critical. So I spent 2 years just researching, things that people were looking for, apps that didn't really make it, and why, industries to look into, efficient ways to code. There were lots of different ways to make, think about the user experience and the DEI process, the onboarding, just all of that. A lot of it is free. So podcasts like yours, that's a valuable resource for people that's looking to learn more on a topic from literal subject matter experts. Buying a book, like, it's well researched, it's looked at, it's perfectly curated. Interviews, courses, like, all of that is valuable to help you to be your best possible self. And lastly is the masterclass of failure. Like, a lot of people underrate it, man. No one's going in hoping to fail, but there are certain things that you might miss the mark on and that you might fail in, and that's okay. That doesn't make you a failure. You just have to learn from them and see what lessons that you can learn and how you can apply that as you move forward. So those are my four or five.
No, those are brilliant takeaways. There's so many I could say about each of those. Like, for example, the one you said about running your own. Well, let's start at the top. Let's start with the first one. You said controversial, but I found that in my experience as well. It's not always true. Well, what I find is, from my personal experience, is that my friends support me personally. They support me morally, but when it comes to business and financial support, often it's the strangers I've made friends with and I've become colleagues that have become my colleagues and friends. It was them initially. I didn't know them, but they were the ones that invested. So then there may be some truth to that. Well, certainly in my experience, it does reflect. Yeah. So don't worry. Don't worry. No reason to cut it out.
Gotcha. Okay, great.
Yeah. And I like what you said about comparison as well. And I often, my tagline about that is run your own race, stop looking, don't look left, don't look right, focus on your goals rather than other people.
100%.
Because you're very right, it can be very discouraging. But oh my gosh, what you said about failure. Oh my goodness, we could have a whole episode on that.
Trust me.
But you're right, it's the only way. And I think in the Caribbean context, and I know you grew up in Toronto, but you're from the Caribbean, so you're familiar with
Yo, I grew up
Caribbean.
in Dominica,
Oh, you grew up in
actually.
Dominica? Oh, okay. I stand
My
corrected. Yes.
mid-teens, I moved here, but like, I grew up in Dominica.
Oh, so you know very well our school culture is very much one that encourages us to pass and to be 100% and
Yep.
failure is seen as something that is demonized and very
Yep.
negative. And we had to
100%.
learn very late that actually failure is a necessity in
Yeah.
business. So I think you mentioned some very key points there. Well,
Yep.
thank you. Thank you so much, Joe. You've given us a lot to reflect on, and I'm very grateful that you've come to join our episode. So just tell us before you go, you know, we like to end this a bit personal. And I don't even know how you would answer this one because
Oh boy.
you have so many things on your plate. You're a musician, you're the founder and CEO of this app. But when you're not working, quote unquote,
Yeah.
what are you doing?
Oh man. So, I was gonna say like music is my go-to, but I mean it's also another job too.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's when I'm usually the happiest, is when I'm in a good groove, like with a good rhythm, like that is really great. Sometimes like the motorcycle is really like a zen space, 'cause you
Oh,
can't be doing anything else when you're riding. It's just riding. A hot
nice.
day, you find like a side street somewhere and you just go. Like, that's really good. And other than that, anime.
Anime.
And yeah, there I said it, man. Like, I love cartoons. I've loved cartoons ever since I was a kid. And
The
yo, man, I honestly, like, for me, you have to be who you are. And I find that just kind of gives me a competitive advantage. Like, some people feel like there's certain things that they have to hide and that they can't really be their true self. I stopped caring a while ago as
closet.
to how
You
that
have
as
to.
to how that would look. And to me, it's just entertaining. There's depth in storytelling, and I see community built around,
Yeah.
certain characters, certain controversy with characters, and like all that stuff it's fun, it's world building, it's exploration. And to me, like, I can just kind of disconnect from everything else, because sometimes reality is a lot.
It's too real.
Reality is a lot. So let me just go
Yeah.
see someone try to ride a dragon or jump on a cloud or something, because
Yeah.
yeah.
And I'm very against anyone who says that successful people or, you know, sometimes these lists come up with successful people or leaders do these things or leaders don't do these things. And I've seen that debunked so many times because so often on those lists we see successful people don't watch TV. Successful people. And I find that to be very untrue. Like when I want to disconnect, I go sometimes to television because, and sometimes I go to utter crap television. What I
You
mean by
see?
utter crap television,
Yep.
because I just want to not be in a space of thinking of work or think about anything. So that
Yeah.
sometimes just allows me to relax. Like I can totally see your connection to anime.
Yep. Like, I mean, growing up back home, like, I don't know if you remember this or what it was like, but when The Young and the Restless came on, it was almost like a chorus of TVs all playing the same anthem. Like, Victor
Yes.
Newman was a much part of the family as as
If you
everyone else.
opened a window, like
Exactly.
you
You
could
just,
hear
yeah.
theme songs from your neighbor's house.
Yeah.
Right.
So yeah, for me, like, I enjoy
Yeah.
cartoons, and that just, it
That's
gives me
enough.
a little bit of a reprieve. Yeah.
That's totally fine. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you so much for joining us. This has been
Cool.
Joe Harry from Global Black Alliance, also The Real Ones. And if you want to find Joe and you want to know more about his business, just find him on LinkedIn. You can find him at Joe Harry on LinkedIn, or you can also find The Real Ones GBA. You can find his there's a page for his company as well. And I'm sure he'd be happy to connect and share more with you because he's doing a lot of great things. And if you're one of those businesses that would like to be included on this platform, just get in touch. So, Joe,
Yep.
thank you again. Thank you for joining us. And thank you to our audience for being here with us for another week. This has been Remotely Speaking Up, and we'll see you next week. Take care.
All right, thank you.
I hope you enjoyed our podcast series. To find out more, follow us at Remotely Speaking Up on Instagram or go to www.crowdpotential.co.uk for our services. Until next time.